Today's Mishnah is our Masechtes Peah, Perek Hei, Mishnah Aleph, and Mishnah Beah. So the first four prakim of Masechtes Peah dealt primarily with the laws of Peah. Kishmoy Kachi, the name of the Masechta, is Peah, and the topic of the first part of the Masechta was Peah. But as we mentioned yesterday, and really as we mentioned in the introduction to the Masechta does not deal exclusively with the laws of Peah. Rather, it deals with the laws of Matnas Aniyim. Different matanas that a person that owns a field had to give to the Aniyim. So if a person had a field, he had to give some matanos to the Kohen, some to the Levi, others had to be given to the Aniyim, and really the focus of Masechtes Peah are the matnos Aniyim that a person had to give from his business, from his geschäft. The Masechta began dealing with the laws of Peah, as a result, the name of the Masechta is Peah, but as we're moving along, the Masechta addresses the topic of Leket, Shikha, Meiser Ani, Peret, Oilolois. These are all things that are Me'inyin, Le'inyin, Ba'oise Inyin. These are all matones, these are gifts, these are taxes, these are mitzvahs that one had the opportunity to do with his business, things that he's supposed to give over to the Aniyim. So the fifth perek of the Masechta picks up where the last two Mishnayos of the fourth perek ended, and that is dealing with the laws of Leket. So what exactly is Leket? It's a pasuk in the Torah. It says in Parshas Kedoshim, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Tes, Uvekutzrichem es Ktzirayitzichem. You're a farmer, you're working in your field, and you're harvesting your field. You're doing kaitzer, you're cutting all the tfuah from the ground. Says the Torah, there's a few things you have to be aware of. Number one, loisechale pa'as sodcha liktzar. Do not harvest the entire field. Rather, you should leave over a peah. That should not be touched. The perfect world of Peah is where you just leave it standing at the edge of the field, you let the Ani come, he's going to harvest it, that's the way you're supposed to be making the mitzvah. Then the pasuk concludes and says, V'leket kitzircha loisalake, that if you harvested your field, not the Peah, you did that properly, the part of the field that you were allowed to harvest, now if there's leket from that field, loisalaket, you should not pick it up. You should leave it on the floor. What should you do with it? La'ani v'la'ger tazavoysam, ani Hashem l'keichem. Just like Peah, you're supposed to leave to the ani and the ger, so to leket, you're supposed to leave to the ani and the ger as well. So what exactly does it mean, leket? V'leket kitzircha loisalaket. So Rashi says in Chumash, shibolim ha'noishrim b'shas kitzir. It's referring to the shibolim, the grains that fall on the ground at the time of the kitzir. Achas o'shtayim, if one strand of grain falls, or if two strands of grain fall, the halacha is you're supposed to leave it there. Aval shalosh, if three strands already grow and fall, that's already ain't like it. So Rashi, who of course is mefarish, always the pasuk pshat and the pasuk says. So what's the pasuk definition of leket? A person is harvesting and b'shas kitzira. That's very important. While he was harvesting, one or two shibalim fell. If one or two shibalim fall, that's what leket means. And there's a lois assay in the Torah of leket kitzircha lois alaket. There's also a mitzvah essay in the Torah that says la'ani v'la'ger tazavoysim. So just like peah involves not only an assay, also a lois assay, which in, as far as Chaymer goes, it puts it into a different level, a different ramah. Leket is the same way. Leket has a lois asei v'leket kitzircha lois alaket. What's the lav? The lav is to be malaketed. You're not allowed to gather it. There's also an asei la'ani v'la'ger tazavoysam. So our Mishnayos today are going to discuss laws related to leket. Zok dehilig mishnah. Godish sheloi lukat tachtov. What happens if a person has leket in his field? And then he took godish, he took a big bundle of grain, and he put it on top of the leket. Wasn't allowed to do that. The reason is because you're covering the leket. The leket is supposed to be visible for the ani and the ger when they're going to come and take it. So this person did something that really was not okay. He took his godish and he put it on top of grains that were leket. Chazal gave him a knas. You know what the knas is? Kol hanoigei ba'aretz hareyu shalaniyim. Any part of the godish which is not leket, that's touching the ground, is going to now be treated like leket, meaning hareyu shel aniyim, the aniyim are going to be able to take it. We'll get back to that in a moment. Haruach shepizar samar, what happens if a person has bundles and the wind came and the wind spread out all the bundles, so now it covered all the leket. So the person didn't take the kaddish physically with his hands and cover the leket, but rather it was an act of God. It happened through a wind that came, and that's what happened. So there's no reason now to cancel this person. So you're going to say that any little bit of grain that's touching the ground all of a sudden belongs to the Nani, and this person's trying to make an honest living. He didn't do anything wrong, says the Mishnah. So what do we do? We make an assessment, meaning we try to make some sort of cheshbon. Meaning what happened is, this person didn't know how much leket there was. He has a field and there's leket. How much? He doesn't know. He didn't look so closely. It's not his anyways. The Ani and the Ger are going to come take it. So he really doesn't know. Now all of a sudden the whole area was covered. Okay, we're not going to give him a knas because he didn't do anything wrong. But at the same time, there's a major taruvos here. He has all his amarim that belongs to him. And then he has the leket that belongs to the Aniyim. So how are you supposed to figure out what exactly is supposed to go to the Aniyim? So the Mishnah says, Oimdim, he has to hire some independent consulting firm that's going to come in. They're going to make an assessment. How much square footage? How big is this? How much was there? How windy was it? And they're going to make a cheshbon. They're going to figure out what it is. Rav Shimon Gamliel says there's no reason to hire anybody. It's a shud, the investment. It's fine. Chazal already did the math for us. Noisein lo aniyim b'kdei nefila. What you're supposed to do is, you should just give the aniyim a k'dei nefila. What is that? So the Rav says, it's 4 kavin for every base court. Rav Shimon Gamliel is not arguing with the Tanakhama. All Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying is, that the Tanakhama said, oimdim, it sounds like we have to do the work. So Rav Shimon Gamliel, I agree with you in principle, but it's not necessary for us to do the work, because Chazal did it for us already. Noisin la aniyim b'kdei nefila, and that in and of itself is going to be okay. So before we start Mishnah Beis, it's worth mentioning one very yisoidi and really lamdisha ha'ara related to our Mishnah. So the first halacha of the Mishnah was, Gadish lo luka tachtav. A person has leket, and he takes his bundle of grain and he puts it on top of the leket. He wasn't supposed to do that. Chazal gave him a knas. What's the knas? Kol ha'noigeya ba'aretz hareyu shalaniyim. That any part of his bundles that are touching the ground is going to belong to the aniyim. Just like the leket underneath it belongs to the aniyim, so too, any grain that's covering the leket is going to belong to the aniyim as well. The Tosfos Yontif, right here on the Mishnah, quotes the Yerushalmi, that says that where did the Chachamim have the right to go and institute such a knas? Meaning, how did the Chachamim have a right to say that your grains are going to be hefker? Zok the Yerushalmi, it's pashit. It's based on a principle called Hefker, Bezdin Hefker. Bezdin has the authority. If they want, they can go over to someone's possessions and they could say, I want this thing to be Hefker. Ordinarily, how does something become Hefker? The Bailim, the owner of the item, makes something Hefker. It's Hefker. Just like Ena the Makna Dovash Ena Shaloi, Ena the Makdish Dovash Ena Shaloi, Ena the Mafker Dovash Ena Shaloi. So if Reuven owns something, he can make it Hekdish. If Shimon owns Hefker, if Shimon owns something, he can make it Hefker. But Reuven can't make Shimon things Hefker. Shimon can't make Reuven's thing Hefker. Because Ena the Mafker Dovash Ena, you can't effectuate any kinyan, any chalois in something that doesn't belong to you. Stating that, Bezdin is different. Bezdin has the right, they have the authority to take something that doesn't belong to them and make it hefker. It's known as hefker, Bezdin, hefker. So Zokti Yerushalmi, that this halacha of kol ha'negeya ba'aretz harei yushalaniyim, it works with the principle of hefker, Bezdin, hefker. But then the Tosfos Yontif adds a chiddush. Says the Tosfos Yontif that being that this works midin hefker bezdin hefker, the halach is going to be that this grain that's touching the ground is going to belong to the aniyim. That's number one. But not just that, upturim in a maestras. It's going to be potter from maestra as well. What's pshat? Because we know hefker is potter in a maestras. So if somebody sees peiros that are hefker, he's allowed to acquire it, and he doesn't have to tithe it. Even if it was grew in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't matter. But if once it's hefker, hefker is potter min ha'mais, it's exeris hakasif, it's learned from a pasuk. But that's the halacha. So says the Tosfos Yontif that being that gadish lo luka tachtov kol ha'negei ba'aretz hareyu shel aniyim works midin hefker, albeit a more mechudash type of hefker, hefker bezdin hefker. But at the end of the day, it is hefker. Hefker is potem and a meiser. So if hefker is potem and a meiser, so the halacha is, you're not going to have to give any meisers. Frank Rav Kiveger, on the side of the Mishnayos, a very good Shemaita Kasha. There's a Mishnah that we're going to learn in a few days. It's the first Mishnah of Perek Vav and Masechtes Peah. It's also a Mishnah and a concept that's quoted throughout Shas. So as we've seen, a lot of Shas ideas come from just the first few Mishnayos that we've already learned. It's Seder Zrom, Metz Hashem, more to come. So the Mishnah over there brings a machloikis between Bishai and Bisil. If someone makes something Hefker, but only La'aniyim, is it hefker or is it not hefker? Bisham says hefker la niim hefker. Beisil says enoi hefker ache yufkar aflashir. According to Beisham, if someone says I want something to be hefker only for niim, the halach is it's going to be hefker. Beisil argues. Beisil says the only time something is hefker is if you mafker it la niim and lashir. And it's mavur that one of the nafkuminas and this machloik is Bisham Beisil is if someone makes something hefker la niim and now someone goes and he acquires it. This is a chayiv in maestris or is it not chayiv in maestris? According to Beishamai, that hefker la'aniyim is hefker, it's going to be potem in a maestris. According to Beisol, that hefker la'aniyim loy havi hefker, it's going to be chayiv in maestris. Freikrab ki ve'eger, we paskin like Beisol, that hefker la'aniyim is loy havi hefker. So if hefker la'aniyim is loy havi hefker, if someone's mafker something only for aniyim, the halach is, it's going to be chayiv in maestris. Our Mishnah that says, Godesh shaloi luka tachtov, kalaneb geya ba'aretz, what's the halacha? Harehu shelaniyim. It's clear that it's only a hefker laniyim. So if it's only hefker laniyim, vazok the toisus yontif that it's going to be pturim and amaisris. Luchur it's hefker shelaniyim. And we paskin like Beisil that hefker shelaniyim is chayiv and maisris. So how could the toisus yontif say that the hefker in our mishnah is going to be hefker? It's going to be potim and amaisris. It's only hefker laniyim because the mishnah says only the ani is allowed to take it. So if only the ani is allowed to take it, it's a classic hefker laniyim. If it's hefker laniyim, it should be chayiv and maisris. He says, what's the reason that Beisil holds that Hefker La'aniyim is Chayv and Maestris? It's because there's a din that if something's only Hefker for certain people, you're Chayv and Maestris. Zokrab Ki Ve'eger, you could have said that. But that's not the pshat, said Rabbi Kiveger. The pshat is because Rabbi Beisil holds hefker laniyim loy havi hefker. And being that it's not hefker, so immediately you're going to be chayiv and maestros. But let's say you had a hechatimtso, where you can have something that's hefker laniyim veloy la'ashirim, but the hefker would be chal laniyim veloy la'ashirim, of course, Zok Rabbi Kiveger would be potem and maestros. Hefker bezdin hefker works mitin hefker. But there's a lot of chidushim and nuances that you have in hefker bezdin that you don't have in a traditional hefker, such as Bezdin has the ability to be mafker something only la'aniyim and not la'ashirim. So once hefker bezdin hefker works la'aniyim, so then there's no reason it shouldn't be potem and amaisres. If there was a din that said that hefker la'aniyim can't be potem and amaisres, then it would be a good kasha. Abazok Rab Kiveger, it's muchach from the Tosfos Yontif, and Rab Kiveger says in Svar it's moed mestaber that way, that really hefker la'aniyim is no different than regular hefker. And the only reason hefker la'aniyim is chayv and maisres according to Beisil is because Beisil holds hefker la'aniyim loy havi hefker klal, meaning, just to bring this out, according to Beisil, the way Rabbi Kiveger understands, if an ani would come and try to be zoicha and hefker laniyim, you wouldn't be able to take it because hefker laniyim is loy havi hefker klal, and because it's loy havi hefker klal, it's for that reason you're going to be chayv and maestros. But if you had a hechatimtza where hefker laniyim would be hefker, enochinami would be potem and maestros. Hefker bezdin hefker has the ability to be mafker something just for aniyim, and it's for that reason the halacha is you're going to be potim and amaisres, like the Tosfos Yontif said. Mishnah Beis shiboyle shebekotza. So Mishnah Beis ironically begins not with the halacha related to peyah, that was the last parak, or the last four prakim, not with halacha related to leket, but we immediately digress, albeit for a ratio of a Mishnah, and we're going to discuss something that's me'inyin le'inyin, very much ba'is'inyin. It's a halacha related to shikcha. So leket, shikcha, and peyah always come together. We know what peyah is, starting to become familiar with what leket is. We know a little bit what shikcha is. So what's shikcha? Shikcha can happen in one of two ways. A person's working in the field, and he forgets something. And really, it can happen in one of two ways. Either you forgot to cut some of the tefuah, or you cut the tefuah, you even bundled it, but you left the bundles inside the field. Either way, it's considered shikcha. So our Mishnah is discussing a case of shikcha. A person was harvesting the field, and he forgot to cut some of the shibaylas. He forgot to cut some of the grain. Really, it should be shikcha. The Mishnah is going to give a chiddush, a hechatimtza, where even if somebody forgets a little bit of grain inside the field, it wouldn't be treated as shikcha. So it says the Mishnah, shibaylus shebekotzer. If somebody had a shibaylus, he left it in the field. He harvested a field and he left some shibaylus. Sounds like that's shikcha 101. Says the Mishnah, v'roshim agi l'kama, in the event that this shibaylus is very, very tall. How tall is it? If you bent over the grain, it would bent into the neighboring field, which you also own, so much so that it would touch it. Says the Mishnah, im nikzeres emakom. If not only could it touch it, but when you harvest the neighboring field, which you haven't harvested yet, you'd be able to harvest this shiboilis together with it. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. You'd be able to chaperun and then go ahead with the mago, with the sickle, and be able to take it. Areish balavais, the aloch is it belongs to the balavais. Vimlav, and otherwise, areish alanim, it's going to belong to the anim. So there's a hechatimsa where a person can leave over some shiboilis in a field, and it's not going to be considered shikha. How's that possible? That is shikha 101. If there's a neighboring field, and when you go to harvest a neighboring field, which you haven't done yet, you'd be able to harvest this together with it, so then it's not considered shikha, the Rav says, based on a pasuk, but either way, that's not considered shikha. That won't be a problem. Now the Mishnah is going to return to the regular program, which are the laws of leket. Shiboilus of leket. What happens if a person had a shiboilus of leket? And then it got mixed up with the gadish. So this is where the laws of leket meet the laws of taruvais. So someone had a shiboilus, yeah, a little bit of leket. He knows exactly how much it was. Problem is it got mixed up in the gadish. You can see that easily happening. And now he doesn't know what's why. He doesn't know what's the leket, what's not the leket. So what's the problem? You say, just take something out and give it to the Araman. Is that such a big deal? The short answer is no. The reason, however, it's a little bit of a problem is because, really, leket is patim and amaiser. So when the Ani comes and takes the leket, he can take 100% of what he just took. He doesn't have to pay any taxes. It's tax exempt. So he gets to keep 100%. This is non-profit. However, if the shiboilis that the balabayis is going to end up giving the ani is going to be not the original leket, so it's going to come out that he's giving him is really chayv ma'aser. So to the extent it's chayv ma'aser, this person is going to have to stop paying taxes all over the place. By the time he's done, he's going to end up with 74% of what he originally got, or, you know, depending on his tax bracket. But whatever it is, he's going to end up giving a lot of it away. So the issue over here is not take a shiboilis and give it to the Araman. It's not a big deal. The issue over here is something else. The issue is the financial ramifications that are going to come about as far as the ani goes. So the Mishnah says something very, very straightforward. Ma'aser shiboilis achas. What he should do is he should take one shiboilis, v'noisenloi, and he should give it to him. Meaning, just be ma'aser. The Baal HaBayis should figure out a way to make sure he's going to give the ma'aser from this entire goddess. And v'noisenloi, then I'll give it to him. It's like this, Mamanav Shach is not going to be an issue. If he's giving him the leket, he's giving him the leket. And if he's not giving him the leket, the Baal HaBayis already incurred all the ma'aser's expenses. It's like this, it's not going to be a problem. Now, if you look on the side of a Mishnayis, so the Rav Bar Tanura has a whole arichos of exactly how this works. So this is a whole major discussion. Ayin Sham. But the point is that the short answer is that the Baal HaBayis is supposed to figure out a way to incur any tax or any meiser responsibilities, and like this, he'll be able to take everything else. Rabbi Eliezer, said, I have a problem with this. You know why? You know, it sounds like this Ani walks into the field, he meets with the Baal HaBayis, and he tells the Baal HaBayis, you know, I want to take the leket. Yeah, I'm sorry, my leket got all confused, Beseder. So they work out a little bit of a deal. It's his to work out a deal? Like, what made it his to work out a deal, said Rabbi Eliezer. What's his point? His point is, let's say the Baal HaBayis is going to end up giving him some grain, and that grain was not really the leket. Okay, so that means the leket is still there. So if the leket is still there, what stops another ani from walking into the field trying to take the leket? So what's the Baal HaBayis going to say? But I already worked out a deal with Pliny Ani. We figured it out. I swapped it out. What, he's a Baal HaBayis over here? Hey, Ha'ani, what gave the Ani the credentials to be Machlich Dover to go ahead and start doing business deals with the Dover, Shloi Babar Shusai? They never belonged to him. Elos, it says, Rabbi Eliezer, you want to know how this works? It works as follows. Mazakis, Ani B'chala Gadish. You need a lawyer for this. Basically, what you're going to do is the Ani is going to be Zoich in the entire Gadish. You have to give him everything. So everything now belongs to the Ani. The Ani is going to be the one that's going to give the Meiser. The point is, you have to make the Ani the Bailim on this entire Gadish. Once he's the Bailim, so now he already has the authority, he has the ability to go ahead and to transact. But if it's not his Gadish, he can't do it. So at the end of the day, Rabbi Eliezer's Eitz and the Chum's Eitz is going to get you to the same place, right? This is just legal nuance. The question is, how do you do it? Rabbi Eliezer had a technical problem with the Chachamim's Eitzah of exactly how it's happening, because it's not his. Oh, so you have to give it to him, and then you work backwards. The Baal HaBayis will end up getting what he's supposed to get. The Arman's going to end up getting what he's supposed to get. It's just a matter of logistics in terms of how we get there.